Romans chapter 1, and just reading a few verses from Romans 1, beginning with verse 16 and reading through verse 25. Romans 1, 16 through 25. Here again, God's Word. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, that the righteous man shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, and of birds, and four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. Therefore God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Please pray with me. Father, we ask that You would be pleased by the goodness and grace of Your Spirit to illumine our hearts and minds, to understand Your Word, and not only to understand Your Word, Father, but to respond to it and to serve and worship You as we ought. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 1 and verse 25 is the text this morning. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Why are we here in this world? What is the purpose for our existence? This is a question often asked in not only academic circles, but in circles like our own and by students and adults alike. What is the reason for our being? And it's a good question. Why are we here? Well, as a Christian and as a Christian that worships in the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America, and perhaps a Christian who has not only looked at, but perhaps memorized the Westminster Shorter Catechism, an answer is on your tongue, is it not? What is the chief end of man? Well, we ought to put that in politically correct language, shouldn't we? What is a person's? No, what is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Our purpose, the reason for our being, according to the Westminster Divines, is to not only glorify God, but it is to enjoy Him, to worship and serve the great God of all. Why are we in this world? We are, dear friends, created to worship. And I think that's the essence of our text. That's the underlying idea that's in the text this morning in Romans chapter 1 and in verse 25. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. You'll notice that at the end of this text, the Apostle Paul brings us a note of doxology. He ends with a word of praise. Speaking of the Creator, he says, He is to be blessed forever. And he adds that great word, Amen. Paul can't help but add this note of doxology. In the Epistle to the Romans, the Apostle is attempting to lay before us the great salvation of God. And he gives us the theme of the Epistle in the 17th verse. We read it just a moment ago. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith, the just shall live by faith. That's what he's after. He wants us to live, and he wants us to live before God, and he wants us to have hearts that are full of faith. And as he talks about this, and begins to speak about it by showing the degradation of humanity before the Creator, he cannot help himself but to refer to the Creator who is blessed forever. And Paul often does this. At the end of the 11th chapter of Romans, there's another great doxology. Oh, the depth of the riches of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who became His counselor? Or who has first given to Him that it might be paid back to Him again? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. And Paul cannot help but to give these words of praise. The Creator who is blessed forever. And the word blessed here is the word eulogize. We've talked about this before, have we not? That we are to eulogize the Creator, to speak well of Him. When a eulogy is given at a funeral, that's generally when you hear a eulogy. So when someone's life is over, you hear the eulogy written. That is a rehearsal of all the things that an individual has done. And usually the good things that an individual has done are listed. You don't want to list all the bad things they've done, not at a funeral service. That's not a good idea. So you list all the good things and you speak well of the individual. You eulogize him. You bless the person. That's what the word bless means, to speak well of. And we speak well of God. We are to bless the Lord our God. And some of the psalms that we sing speak of this. When God blesses us and speaks well of us, this is the ultimate grace and goodness He extends to us. Because what He says is true and right altogether. And when He speaks well of us, it's a wonderful thing, is it not? And so we are always to bless God and never to curse Him, never to speak evil of Him. The opposite would be to curse Him. And many in this world today do curse God. You remember Job's wife? After Job had gone through so much, he'd lost everything that he had materially, lost his family. Both wealth and health were gone. And he sat scraping, oozing sores, with a piece of a broken pot. And his wife had words of encouragement for him. Job, curse God and die. Thanks a lot. But never curse God. And Job refused to do it. Speak well of him. And add the amen. Is that what you say? Do you say amen? Sometimes after worship, one of you will come to me and say, I would have liked to have said amen to that particular statement or that particular sermon. Well, let's not get too exuberant here. Let's not vocalize our enthusiasm before God. We wouldn't want to, you know, get too carried away here. I remember shortly after I was converted, the fellow that led me to Christ took me to the throne of grace, took me to a Spanish-speaking Assemblies of God church. There were a couple of amens, more than one for sure. And that was quite an experience for me. I'd never been in any circumstance like that before. But the amen here, you'll notice at the end of the text in Romans 1:25, it says, of the Creator who is blessed forever, amen. And as Paul contemplates the greatness of God and speaks of the fact that he is to be blessed and well spoken of, he cannot help but add that assent to the truth from his heart, that amen. And this is the response of the worshiping heart, of the heart that is captivated by God. And that's what, at least in part, worship is about, is it not? That our hearts actually are captivated by the living God. And we know that the Creator is to be blessed forever. And when the truth is uttered and we hear the truth of God, our hearts respond with that assent and that amen. And so those first two points in the outline. We must always speak well of God, the Creator and Redeemer, and never curse Him. Do we say amen? Is that our heart? And then point three in the outline. The great lie is that God does not exist, or if He exists, He is not a necessary part of life. The result is false worship. You see our text again. For they exchanged the truth of God for the lie. That's actually the text. It's not a lie, but the original language is much more pointed. For they exchanged the truth of God for the lie. And worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. And the great lie, dear friends, is that the Creator, the God of the universe, is unnecessary. Or if He is unnecessary, or that He does not exist, I should say. It's a source of continual amazement to me. It really is. That in the educational institutions of our nation, children go day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, into instruction about the universe, about their bodies, about mathematics and science, into a teaching situation that basically assumes God is not necessary. Or assumes God does not exist. You know, that makes a job like mine a little tough. That when kids hear instruction week by week, where mention of God is out of bounds, and then they have an opportunity 2 or 3 hours a week to hear about God, it's a big challenge. And that's why in families it's so important for there to be devotions and Bible reading and instruction in the family. Very important. The assumption too often in our culture is that God is unnecessary. And He is repudiated. For they exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. You see, the exchange here. The exchange here is not worship for some neutral territory. The exchange here is from true worship to false worship, where they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. Now, some of you are thinking that, well, he's pretty tough on public education. And some of you are thinking, well, I'm glad he's pretty tough on public education. Well, let me put this in another way. Because what happens so easily is that we get caught up in worshiping the creature rather than the Creator. And in some homeschool circles, homeschooling is worship rather than the Creator. And that's not good. And in some circles, the family is so important that the family is worship rather than the Creator. It's the Creator who must hold our attention and grasp our hearts. And in some circles, where Christian education is the priority, those involved in that Christian education would say, well, I'd never go over to that school. And it's their school that becomes the center of their attention. You see, it can happen in many different ways. That's my point. We are to worship and serve the Creator. And it's very easy for us to be sucked into a very subtle lie that perverts us and draws our attention away from the worship of the Creator. Look at our text again. Therefore, God gave them over. Well, it's verse 25, isn't it? For they exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. In our culture today, in some circles, work is our God. And in other circles, pleasure is our God. And in other circles, athletics is our God. Now I know there aren't any of you who are interested in NCAA basketball, right? I was told that I'd better watch out because there might be someone here this morning who would be wearing a headset and listening to KU basketball this morning. Now, it is a phenomenal thing, isn't it? Last night, or yesterday, in one of the basketball games, St. Joseph's and Stanford, where St. Joseph's, a lower seed, was challenging the number one seed. And toward the end of the game, a phenomenal thing happened. A man by the name of Marvin O'Connor, who plays for St. Joseph's, fouled out with seconds left in the game. And 32,000 people applauded him and gave him adulation. We're back almost, folks, to the days of Rome and the Colosseum and the worship of the contest. How easy it is for us to be diverted. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. The truth is that God is. The truth is that God is. And that He is worthy of all glory and honor. And that He created you, dear friend, to worship Him. He created you to worship Him. Look at the text again. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. What is the great sin? The great sin is the worship of the creature rather than the Creator. That's the great sin. And so the great truth must be to worship the Creator. That would be the underlying fact. That would be the underlying truth. That you are not created to worship yourself, your family, your work, your athletics, your school, whatever it might be. You were created to worship God. And to pervert that into a worship subtly of something else is the perversion of the deepest sort. You were created to worship the Lord God Almighty, and I was created to worship Him. And so, if this is the case, and we are not to succumb to the great lie, and we are to worship and serve the Creator rather than the creature, we must reverence Him, and we must come before Him. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to worship and serve Him. The two words that the apostle uses here, the first one, translated worshiped, is used only in this place in the New Testament. And I would gather that this is probably for the sake of emphasis. And the second word that Paul uses, which is translated served, is the word from which we get our English word liturgy. And a liturgy is simply, well, we have one in our bulletin, don't we? An order of worship. An order for life. There is a liturgy for life. An orderliness to life. And we are to worship and serve the Creator. That is our task. That is what we are created for. You and me. And so we must worship our God and reverence Him, as I say, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. O Father, You are the Creator of all. Thank You that You created me. Thank You that You created me and placed me in the circumstances in which I find myself. Thank You for that. Thank You for my family. Thank You for my employment. Thank You for all the circumstances of my life. Lord Jesus Christ, I freely acknowledge before You that as I face the various circumstances of my life, I sin, and I do so often. Thank You that You died on Calvary's cross to pay the penalty due to me for my sins. Bless, Holy Spirit of God. Thank You for removing the heart of stone from my flesh and giving me a pliable heart of flesh inclined toward You. Thank You. Individually, in our families, and corporately, we are to worship our triune God. That's why we were created. And we are to serve Him. And when we go through the liturgy of our worship service, that's what we should consider it. A service to God. Yes, you draw away from the world in the myriad of ways that you serve others in your employment or in your family. And you come together with the people of God to worship and serve Him. And when you hear the call to worship, it's not simply the utterance of a few words that are spoken in a formal way, but they are words that are addressed to you to draw away from the cares of the world and come into the vital presence of the living God to worship Him. And when your pastor prays during the invocation, he is seeking the face of God and asking that the Lord God Omnipotent, the Creator of all, would dwell in the midst of His people and to be right here. And then we lift our voices to Him and we sing to Him. And one of the reasons that we are practicing weekly a psalm, learning it, is so that we can lay aside the book and simply sing to God and give Him our praise and adulation. And when the Scriptures are read, it is the very Word of God that is read. And when the sermon is in progress, it's a situation This is the longing of my heart. It is a situation in which God is present. We are gathered as the people of God, and God is present, and we are reviewing the truth of God. And in that mix, you hear the voice of God. Not because it's the preacher that's up there speaking, but it's because in reviewing the truth of God, you may hear God teach you, and you may learn from God, and you may hear God's voice, and God may change your heart and bring you along the path of sanctification. And when the benediction is pronounced, it's the blessing of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be very gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and grant you His peace. And we are before our God. Why were you created? Dear friends, you were created to worship. And you may worship a lie far better to come to the truth through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And fulfill the ultimate meaning of your life and worship your Creator. Let's pray together. Father, work in us, among us, through us, with us. To this end, we pray that the ultimate purpose and meaning of our lives might be fulfilled in and through you, that is, to worship you. Grant us that grace, we pray. And grant, O God, that as we consider this whole area of worship, in the weeks ahead, stimulate us to look forward to our times together. Grant that we might prepare to do so. And when we come, grant that we would come, our God, to you, to worship you, to look to you, to hear from you. We pray these things in the great name of our only Lord and Savior, even Jesus Christ. Amen.